Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 227.
Yep, 227.
We had a dispute on 226 or 227. Come
on, it's not. Okay. Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, and we are here in our Bear Podcast studios, if I should say. And we have our backdrop over here. And we have people in the chat room. Hey. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Abdul. Yeah. We cannot, it's hard to read the chat messages, so please bear with us. Okay. We have some updates. We have weekend updates, as in very bad weekend updates, because we are victims of Hurricane Ike. Well, I'm okay afterwards, but how about you? I mean, Ray, tell me. Tell the audience what happened to you for the past week.
We have no power, and even worse yet, we have no internet. So It's hot, it's muggy. Luckily, I must say, I'm not bad off, because I actually went and bought a generator before the hurricane, so we've actually been able to run the refrigerator and a window AC unit. But, you know, screw Ike. Let's talk about something really important. Hang on. Maynard forgot to cut the backup on. So do we need to start over again?
No, we don't need
okay.
to.
Okay.
No, keep going.
So let's talk about the more really important. Well, what's your weekend update? And then we can go to the really important
stuff.
Well,
let me see. I'm caught off guard now. Well, I got power Thursday night. So I was able to, work at home during Friday and then Friday night we had to celebrate our surviving of the hurricane. So we went to a restaurant called Tecate. It's actually a Mexican restaurant
that's about the size of Maynard's living room.
Yeah. where is it? It's on Ella Boulevard. Yeah. They had terrible food, so bad food. We didn't enjoy it. We didn't enjoy it at all.
That's why I wondered why he picked Tecate. But anyway,
You've known about Tecate before?
I used to eat at Tecate. I used to live right there on West 26th Street, below it. So
well, we didn't like it. I didn't like it. I didn't like the service. Very bad, salsa. I sometimes measure the how good the restaurant is with their salsa. And if their salsa is bad, everything I think will be bad. So that's how we felt about Tecate. Mm. And yeah, we from there we went to Tony's Corner Pocket. Yeah, that's where we played darts and stuff. So we had fun.
Oh, that's good. I heard it was a pretty mixed crowd that night since all the other bars were pretty much closed. So
yeah, that's true. It's an okay weekend. Saturday. What did we do Saturday? I just met up with a couple of friends. I think we were hanging out with you guys. Yeah,
we came over Saturday and we watched... we came over Sunday.
Over Sunday, yeah. Sundays, okay. We're into HBO now. We're into True Blood right now. So tell the audience about True Blood. That's one of your...
It's all about vampires. It's based on my favorite Charlene Harris, Sookie Stackhouse novel. So if you haven't read them, go get them. It's a very good storyline. I think Maynard and everybody's getting into it now.
Yeah, we are.
So I got people calling me say, have you recorded it? Can I come back and watch it? So, I mean, we got David Tritico involved.
David Tritico is with us. David was at the Bear Watch episode with us.
He's doing the massages.
He does the massages. He's got big hands. Big hands. Big nostrils, right?
That darn big thing he's got, but...
So. Okay. He was with us. He watched it. He's liking it, too.
Yeah. So it's a great show. Go check it out. Alan Ball's doing a great job. I think he's written the first three or four episodes, so it's following along. They've changed some stuff in it, but I like the stuff they've done. They developed some more characters at the books. They really wasn't that developed, but, it adds more to it. I mean, you can't... When you're basing something on a book, you have to stray somewhat to... the storyline to keep it fresh and changed and stuff. So it's been very good. So I'm not complaining. I like it. But let's talk about something more important.
Okay.
Heroes.
Heroes.
Now, for all of you that haven't seen Heroes yet, spoiler alert, because we're getting ready to talk
spoiler
all
alert,
about it.
Spoiler alert, heroes.
Okay, Peter Petrelli's mother.
She can, what can she do? What about her?
She's Siler's mom.
Oh my God, you just spoiled it for a lot of our listeners.
That's why I said spoiler alert. I said it.
Spoiler alert.
That blew me away. I was like,
you know what? I kind of thought they were. Because Peter and Siler had the same similar powers.
Same similar power. So, and it would make sense now. So, but, you know, and then of course it might just be her pulling his leg to, you know, get him to do what she wants to. So,
yeah.
And the new Peter and the future Peter and the old Peter, that's getting a little confusing to me, but.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to get Claire some antidepressants big time. So, because she's just lost it.
Oh my God.
What happened to her flying boyfriend?
That's right. He was just written off.
Because at the end of the last season, he was there, and then all of a sudden he disappeared. So I'm trying to figure out what happened to him. So, but
yeah.
So,
I wonder too.
But anyway, so the first episode, if audio watched it, there was like 3 hours of Heroes last night, and the first hour was the get party, and they showed previews of stuff coming up and all that kind of stuff, and then there was. The first show, first hour, and then there's a second hour. The first hour is the show, the episode that I got to see at Comic-Con, that the video podcast. There was a couple sound bites that I took about the whole Claire thing. Said, Claire, that's disgusting.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Gonna eat your brain. That's disgusting.
You're going to eat it. That's disgusting.
But I enjoyed watching, but it was good seeing it again last night. And then the second episode, which nobody saw, is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Mohinder turning scaly.
That's gross. No, that's gross.
So
that's gross.
But, you know, we'll be geeking out on Heroes for the next couple of weeks. So
yeah,
but
people in our chat room, Abdul, meet Jeff. Jeff, meet Abdul.
Okay, Abdul, watch it. Jeff's a chaser, and he's very, very proficient about it.
Yes, he likes chasing. So. Yeah, they're in the chat room right now. Thanks, guys, for joining us. And what else is on?
Fringe is on tonight that I'm not recording.
Fringe, that's something I got to watch in Hulu. I went to Hulu.com to watch it.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, I did watch it in Hulu.
And Carl and I, that's the other show we got to see at Comic-Con.
Oh, my God. It's like CSI
X-Files.
Meets X-Files.
Yeah.
That's how, yeah, it's awesome. It's just awesome.
So, of course, we're missing it tonight because we're here podcasting and I didn't have the generator.
Oh, I'm recording it. Oh,
okay. Well, we're going to watch it afterward then. Cool.
Wait a second. Am I recording it?
I don't know. Peter got power back tonight, so I called him and said, Peter, record it. So.
Oh, okay.
But
I hope I recorded it. Oh, my God. It is very good. Oh, if not, then just watch it on Hulu.com. You can watch it online. Yeah.
I have no internet.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. So anyway. You still have no power.
No problem.
I'm really sorry. But you have a generator. Living with it.
I'm living with it. So anyway.
Okay.
Ugly Betty starts back this week. Mm-hmm. On Thursday night, so all you Ugly Betty fans, make sure you go watch that. And I'm trying to think of there's some other stuff that started up this week. Sarah Connor. I missed last week's Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, that was recording alongside with Heroes yesterday.
Well, that was yesterday. I saw yesterday's episode, but last week because of the hurricane and no power, I didn't have the TV and stuff on and whatever, so I missed that one. So I got to go find that online somewhere.
It's available online. Is it available online, guys?
I don't know if Fox puts her stuff online and everything. So, but anyway, there's a chick flick starting tomorrow night called The Women or something, and it's got Brooke Shields and two other chicks in it.
It's
a chick flick.
Chick flick. Okay.
Chick flick show. So I think it's kind of like another version of Sex and the City. I'm not sure, but
I see.
Brothers and Sisters starts back Sunday, this coming Sunday also. So. It's going to be a busy taping night with True Blood and all that kind of stuff coming on. I'm going to have to get another.
Can your DVR do the multi-channel?
It can record two channels at one time.
Okay.
But I think there's like some days there's like three or four things coming on that I want to record. So, that's why I have a DVR in the bedroom too. I'll just have to figure out what I'm
DVRs.
So.
But anyway, a while ago, actually before we recorded this, we were chatting with Michael from Bear Run the Movie. Yeah, so if you guys want to see Bear Run the Movie, go to bearrunthemovie.com.
They buy it.
Yeah, and buy the DVD. Actually, it aired live on, August 2nd, was it? August 2nd, the week before we had Dan Hunt on the show. So, check it out. It's Bear Run the Movie. And our guest for this episode is Michael from that movie.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often? Woof, what a bear.
Hey, guys, this is Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, and we have a guest today in this episode. His name is Michael from Vermont. Hello, Michael.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, Michael, so welcome. Okay, if everybody out there, if you haven't seen the Bear Run, the movie, he is one of the featured bears in that documentary on Logo. So yeah, check it out, bearrunthemovie.com. So yeah, Michael, so you're now in Vermont. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Texas, outside of Houston.
Oh, really? And we're here in Houston.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's probably be better in Vermont here right now than being in Houston.
Just south of Pasadena.
Oh, south of Pasadena, okay.
Pasadena, get down, yeah. Dino.
I was just down there. I didn't know where y'all were, though.
Oh, okay. Well, we're around the Montrose area, well, outside the Loop, if you're familiar with the Houston area.
Well, I live closer to the inside the Loop. Maynard lives out here in BFE.
Yeah. They call it the South Dallas already because I'm too far north.
South side of the Beltway, sorry.
I hear you.
Yeah. So you're here originally and from La Porte. Wow, good for you. You missed all the excitement with Hurricane Ike here.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I was kind of glad to do that, too.
Yes, you're lucky.
But my family is still down there, so I was worried.
Oh, I bet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
They all have their power back yet?
No.
I know how they feel.
One of my brothers lives down in the Seabrook area. He hasn't got his power back on yet.
Mm-hmm. Seabrook got pretty messed up, so they're kind of like...
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, if most of y'all didn't know, we had Hurricane Ike roll through here last week. Of course, it's big on our minds, I'm sure. In the rest of the country, they're more worried about the stock market and the banks crashing all around us. But we'd be just happy to have power and internet around here, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, there are people in the chat room right now. However, they cannot hear you.
Okay.
They cannot hear you. But yeah, welcome people in the chat room. We're having Michael from Vermont. And when did you move to Vermont?
10 years ago.
10 years ago. Okay.
How about 10 years?
I've been away from Houston for 20 years now.
Ah, okay. And. And then right now, okay, you are, how do we start this? This is kind of difficult because the first time we've had a trans bear, right? That's how you described yourself in Bear Run, the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, tell us your story,
Michael.
It's
probably not the first time there's been a trans bear. It's probably the first time that there's been an open trans bear.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's your story, Michael? Tell
for
some of us that hadn't seen all of Bear Run, the movie, or know much about what's going on with the movie, tell us your story.
Well, I've been trans my whole life, but I transitioned about 20 years ago. When I moved to Vermont, I went to Gay Pride here, which is a little bitty tiny little Gay Pride. And I ran into some bears.
Oh, okay.
And me just being me, you know, just walked up and started talking to them. And they're like, yeah, you should come hang out with us, you know, da-da-da-da-da. We just kind of, you know, BS'd for a while. And so I went to the first, they were having a bear party. And I talked about it briefly in Bear Run. It was the first bear party I'd ever gone to.
That's right.
And, you know, it's all history now. It's I've been with the bears for close to 6 years.
Close to 6 years.
And
okay.
Have enjoyed every moment of it.
Yeah, that's how you refer to yourself. You've always been a big. Have you always been a big guy?
No, not really.
Not really?
I'm 5'7".
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I weighed probably 138 as a girl. And of course, when I got with the testosterone, I bulked up to about 190. And I didn't look very big, but I was, you know, I was solid. And as I got older, you know, I kind of sort of got bigger.
Don't weigh
and I got my bare belly. you know, so no, not really. And I'm probably not big, very big compared to other bears. I only weigh 208.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hairy.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's every chaser's dream, I guess. People who like bears and stuff, you know, like myself.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So tell us about did we ask that? The transformation. I mean, when did this what made you decide to go trans?
So in my head, I've always been a boy.
Mm-hmm.
even as a small child. And my dad kind of sort of just let me be who I was. And I had two older brothers, so, you know, I kicked around with them for a while. But I kind of sort of realized that things were wrong, you know, for me. And I tried to deal with it the best I could because I didn't understand what it was, you know, that I was so different.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when I was 15, I actually fell in love with a guy. And it just didn't work out. The body thing was messing me really, you know, was messing me up really bad.
Ah, okay.
And I wound up starting to date girls, which, of course, technically made me a lesbian since I had a female body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it confused everybody after that because I kept saying, well, I'm not really a lesbian. You know, I'm just a guy. I'm just me. I'm just a guy. And I still didn't have a word for it until I reached... even though I was cross-dressing at 19, it was 28 before I realized that I had to do something or I was just going to, you know, I was going to wind up dead.
Oh, wow.
So
and you went through all that process here in the Houston area?
Yeah, I did. And there was a woman that was down in Galveston, and she's actually still there in Houston. She's retired, and she I called her on the telephone. I was at Wilder Books there in Montrose, and I found her number in one of the books there and called her, and she says, well, come see me. And that's when my adventure began. She helped me through the whole transition. And
wow. Okay.
She was pretty brutal on me, you know. First time I went in to see her, she says, you need a haircut.
You need a haircut.
My hair was really, really, it was really short, but it wasn't a barber cut. So I went to a barber, and I said, give me a crew cut, and he gave me a crew cut, and you know, and we began. I didn't have too much trouble transitioning. It was more of a natural thing for me just to fall into that role.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where I belonged. And I was a truck driver, so, you know, it didn't matter, you know, about job and everything like that. It just kind of fell back into everything, kind of fell into place for me.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
When you started this, did you think that going through that, well, I guess basically when you started the hormones and everything, did it make you change? I mean, other than the physical changes, what did it make you feel more like a man? Or?
Oh, sure. Very much so. And when I got rid of my breast, which were 38 double Ds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I felt much more comfortable in my body and much more male.
That's more male. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is how you describe as your pre-op, right?
I was.
You was. Okay.
I'm not anymore. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because wow.
I've had all the surgeries.
Oh, okay. Because I thought in the movie in the documentary, it was. I think you did mention it, but I think you already went through that. Wow.
So
documentary was over a 2-year period, mm-hmm. and. In that context that you're speaking about in the documentary, I was talking about when I was pre-op.
Okay.
Because I joined the bear community before I had my final surgery.
Wow.
And and then I had my final surgery, and a lot of bears came up to Montreal to see me up at the hospital and to, you know, to give me support. So that was pretty cool.
If I knew you back then, I would have too. Yeah.
What did you? Is there a reason you had the surgery in Montreal? Is it just easier to do out of the country, or?
It's a cost factor. The particular surgery up there, when you have a metoidioplasty, it costs you about $29,000, with a full a vaginectomy and a hysterectomy will run you about $30,000, $34,000.
Wow.
If you do it all in the United States, it'll cost you about $95,000. And there's no insurance that'll pay for it.
Yeah. Did you consider like Thailand or somewhere in Asia? I don't know.
Well, there were, you know, I thought about Belgium.
Belgium.
And they had just closed their borders to outside surgeries. And Thailand wasn't real hot. It's hot now, you know, for trans people to go, but it wasn't when I was searching for a place to go.
I see. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So after all this, you've been with the bear community for a long time now, and you got support also from the bear community. Then how did you get involved with the documentary?
Well, I met Dan Hunt at a film festival in southern Vermont. They were doing a film festival and workshop down there, and he was showing his film Cruel and Unusual, which is about transsexual women who are in prison, and that's from male to females. And he had, where he was having this film previewed, the gentleman that owned that place knew me, and he said, you know, Dan was looking for trans people to come and kind of create a panel so that the other producers and everything could ask questions and stuff like that. And so John Scagliati called me and asked me if I would drive down and be on this panel. And I said, sure, you know, and I went down there and sat on this panel so that they could ask questions and about trans people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met Dan that night, and he called me 2 days later and said, I'm making a documentary about bears, and I really, really would like for you to be one of the bears in my documentary. And I thought about it for, he told me, he said, think about it for a couple of days. So I thought about it for a couple of days, and then I called him up and said, yeah, I'll do it.
Oh, okay.
So, and there I am.
How did it feel? You were, it reminded me of some reality TV show. Just following you around the camera and just that.
That was kind of funny in weird ways. You know, especially like when I was in P-Town and was walking around and woofing at guys and everything and having a good time. And you know, and there's a cameraman walking backwards in front of me the whole time. And then people would look at me kind of funny, you know, and so I kind of felt awkward sometimes. And then sometimes it was like I would kind of sort of forget he was there, you know. But all in all, it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It took, we'd have to reshoot things a couple of times sometimes because I'd mess it up. and so that kind of got, I got a really good idea about how actors, you know, when they have to keep retaking things, how it gets frustrating sometimes. But, you know, it all seemed to come out pretty good.
Well, with this one, it's just one take. Don't worry. Interviews like this. most of the time, we try not to edit. And you just keep going and going. And okay, so now you're in Vermont. You're living with your life partner.
Yes.
And can we say her name?
Sylvia.
So Sylvia. So she's with you. And but then you go out with the bears. So during the weekdays, during the week, you of course you're with your house with Sylvia. And then when the bears come, you all go out. You go with the bears. So if there's a bear run, you go to P-Town or you go to Albany.
Yeah, or Erie. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's how you do. Okay. How about Jeff? Because I got to contact you through Jeff from Vermont, Mr. Panda Bear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeffrey.
Yes, Jeffrey. So yeah, shout out Jeff. Thank you for
coming. Jeff is this wonderful little Asian bear, and I just love him to death. He's so cuddly and sweet, and he hates it that he doesn't have a lot of hair, but I like hairless bears, too.
Oh, okay.
I met Jeff at one of the bear parties here locally, and we got to talking, and, you know, we clicked real good, and you know, he'd call me up and he'd ask me questions about being trans, and he'd ask me questions about how I felt in the bear community. And so we developed this really kind of close and tight relationship. And I wanted to go out to Drenched Fur, and I asked Jeff about it. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I was going to go to Drenched Fur. So we took off to Drenched Fur, and from then on we kind of try to go to bear runs together and things like that. So it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Drenched Fur. I should have gone that weekend. Was that a few months ago? And Ryan and Johnny, some of the people from they're from the Chaser show that we do.
So we'll have to go back and look at all those pictures in the hot tub and see if we can find you.
Were you in the hot tub?
Yeah, once.
Oh, once.
Twice,
okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I'm curious. Who do you prefer? I mean, let's just say, what gender do you prefer?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
It's about the person.
It's about okay.
And how I click with the person, and how I, how we, you know, relate to each other. You know, there's. It's just like being attracted to a particular type of man. You said you were a chaser, you know, so you like bears,
mm-hmm.
and you probably don't like twinks, but it's kind of the same way. It's just a preference, you know. With me, it doesn't matter what your sex is. If we click, we click.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to be I click more with men than I do with women, but it is not to say that I don't find some women, mm-hmm. you know, attractive.
Yeah.
In a sexual way, or you know, in even an intellectual way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a term I learned from I think it was in Yeast Radio before, a long time ago. I think it's called pansexual or
yes,
pansexual. It's in It doesn't matter what sex. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, other than doing bear runs and stuff, and meeting other bears, and hanging out with the people from Albany and from P-Town. What else do you do? I mean,
well,
for fun. What do you do for fun?
Right now, I'm a full-time student, and of course, sometimes that's not fun.
I know.
No, it's not. Even a part-time student is not fun.
I'm at my residency right now on a 10-day intensive, and that's the reason you're calling me in a dorm room.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm having a blast here, you know, because I'm out here and everybody knows or if they don't know that they know of me being trans, and they are supposed to preview Bear Run tomorrow night here at the college. So, you know, I do my school and do that kind of stuff for fun. I have a motorcycle. It got cut out of the Lego version of Bear Run.
Oh,
and
really?
I was rebuilding it, and I got it rebuilt. And I like to ride my bike. And Vermont is really cool for bikes because it's really winding mountain roads, and so it's kind of a biker's wet dream, you know.
Mm-hmm. One of these days we're going to meet you. I want to go to Vermont. I've never been to Vermont.
Well, come on up.
I've been through there briefly when I was working in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. I had to go to Vermont and pick something up and turn around and come back. I mean, but if you blink, you kind of miss Vermont.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of a small
state. It's very quaint, and it's very non-assuming, you know, to look at. But like right now, we're in foliage season, so we've got all of the colors and it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Got a nice fall season going on. It's crushed up.
And then you go into stick season.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So, well, most of the sticks are laying on the side of the road now, so you can't even park your car. So,
yeah, that's true too.
So,
if you ever come to Texas, to La Porte, when are you thinking to come back?
I'm not sure. If I come in the winter. Probably January or February.
That's always a good idea.
That's always a good idea, especially in the South.
Yeah. Well, it gets me away from all of the snow up here.
Mm-hmm. And y'all had a little
kind of a
cold snap whipped through there last week, didn't you?
There's a cold snap there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they had, like, freezing temperatures. Was it last week? Yeah, last week.
When we got this week.
on First Brothers. Yeah. When we got the cold, when it got cold, cool here after Ike.
Yeah.
They were having freeze warnings out there.
I see. So yeah, during Ike here was just terrible. I mean, when I woke up that Monday morning, it was cooler. I was so surprised. Oh, we needed this. I had no power for 5 days, so.
Yeah, well, we had a strange thing that happened here when Ike, you know, all of the after effects of Ike came up here, and everybody said, you know, we're going to have this cold front come in. And it was about 75, and we're going, a cold front. Okay, so, you know, you do everything you need to do for a cold front. You get your jacket out and get one in the car and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it hit here, and it jumped to 85 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going, that's not a cold front. That's a heat wave.
Yeah. That's right.
But 3 days later, it was back into the 70s.
Yeah, that's right.
It was just really weird. It brought in this little mass of hot air that kind of threw everybody off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was over with.
Yeah. So after school, any vacations, any bear runs you're going to go to very soon?
I'm going to Drenchford this in February.
I see.
I'm thinking of going to Spooky Bear. I haven't decided yet.
Spooky Bear,
which is in P-town.
Spooky Bear,
October.
Okay. Oh, in October. Spooky Bear. Okay,
yeah,
that's a nice name.
And
I've heard of Scary Bear, but not Spooky Bear.
Yeah. The guys, some of my buds are telling me that I'm going to go to Outer Hibernation in January, but I'm not sure. I don't want them throwing me off in the Atlantic Ocean in January.
Well, that is true.
I don't know that I would survive that. I'm not that hairy.
Oh, come on. You got to do the whole polar bear thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
And if Galveston's rebuilt, you could always come down here to Bear Watch this year. If we can have Bear Watch this year.
Come to Bear Watch in May.
So.
Here.
In May?
Yeah, in
May.
Galveston.
Yeah. Oh, in Galveston.
Yeah.
Well, don't they have a bear thing in Houston? It's a crawl or something.
Bear crawl? Oh, no, it must be another city. But we have it. We have Bear Watch during May. It's the by the Houston Area Bears, and we do it in Galveston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So okay. If you get the chance, swing by.
I should.
Yeah, and we've been trying to get Jeffrey down here. So
now that I know where you are at, I'll definitely, you know, we'll have to get together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we you know? If ever you come to Texas, let me know, okay?
I sure
will. We should hang out. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Michael. It's really a pleasure to have you in the show. And any bear profile? Do you have a bear profile or any website that you want to promote or that you're signed up?
You can find me on Bear Cities under Leather Bear 3, or you can find me on Manhunt under Leather Bear 3. Those are the two sites I usually kind of flip back and forth through.
I see.
Mostly on bear hunts where I'm at. And I have those are the two good ones that you'll probably find me. And mm-hmm. I'm easy to find because it's the same, you know.
Same picture.
Name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, thanks, Michael, for joining us. And
anytime. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Just give me a shout sometime.
Okay.
We will do.
All right. Thanks. See you later, Ray.
Bye. I might come up there with you now, Vermont or wherever he is.
That's right.
Okay.
So we're
chatting with Jeffrey, Mr. Panda Bear, is online harassing us, and
he's showing off his.
His assets. So
that's right. Well, okay. I guess we're gonna wrap this up. And any shout outs? Any people you want to shout out to?
Shout out to my buddy Carl, who is stuck in L.A. doing work again. I know he hates staying in a hotel, but I was talking to him on the way up here, and there was a bear in the gym, and I said, "Well, go work out with him." Mm-hmm. He said the guy kept checking him out, and I said, "Come talk to him." So worst thing happened, he'd walk away. Or you get a booty call or something, you know. So.
He could be listening to this. Oh, my God.
He'll be listening to this tomorrow. He'll probably listen to this as soon as you put it out. He'll download it and listen to it because that's what he does at work.
So. Okay.
But, you know, so. But if any of y'all come to Houston, just stay away right now. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
They keep giving all these numbers of people that got power, that have power and don't have power. And it's just like there's still a lot of people here with no power, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mess, and Galveston's a mess. They actually let the people go back there tomorrow to go to certain sections of it. So
I've seen in the news people driving just driving there, and they have to get out immediately just to see where their house used to be.
Yeah.
And trying to get anything that's left, memorabilia or some.
Yeah. And they're telling you, and one of the things, that just how bad this is, folks. I mean, everybody saw Katrina and everything. It's the same here. I don't know how much national play it's getting, because all we see is the local stuff, and they keep harping on everything. You see the same images over and over until it kind of gets old. But Galveston Island's opening back up tomorrow, so residents can come back in. If your residence is behind what's considered the seawall of Galveston, you can come back. But I think but they're saying don't bring your kids, because, you know, if you have medical problems, don't come, because we can't help you, because we don't have a hospital that's shut down other than basic emergency stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and there's still places, you know, a majority of anything from Galveston on up past Houston, there's still huge sections without power. So,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just rough. And, you know, after Katrina, you know, I thought, don't depend on the United States government to do a damn thing for you, because it's pretty much true they're not. And, you know, things are a little bit better organized, I think, for Ike and stuff, but it still goes to show you got government bureaucracy in the middle of it, and not a damn thing gets done, and the people that actually need the help are not getting it. So,
yeah, that's pretty sad.
So if you live somewhere that you have natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, prepare your own self and prepare yourself to save your own butt, because the damn government sure as hell ain't going to help you.
Yeah. I was out. I didn't experience the wind or anything.
Yeah.
So. I was in New Orleans.
But that says nothing. Look how long it's taken New Orleans. And the mayor of Houston and the mayor of Galveston went to D.C. today to ask for $2 billion to help recover stuff and do all that kind of stuff. But, I feel sorry, because I know there are a lot of businesses out there that were on the verge of collapsing anyhow, just making it week to week and, you know, day to day. And this probably, a lot of companies are not going to come back because of this, just because of the economic status. And now Wall Street's jacking up and down with the bank stuff happening and everything. So it's going to be a crazy rest of the year for us. So, I'm bitching. I'm pissed off about it, but I'm glad I could afford a generator. And I've been able to keep my food cold, and I can have a cold glass of tea when I want it, and I got a window unit, because there are people here that are still burning. I mean, there are people in my neighborhood that don't have generators that have been burning candles for the last, how many days? It's not 10.
1 week.
It's a week now.
It's more than a week.
More than a week now. So, and they don't have, and this week it got hot. Luckily, it hadn't been that hot, but still.
Yeah.
You know, at least I can cool off. So.
I'm lucky. I thought, they were saying a month, and it's a good thing. I got my power probably 6 days since I lost it. So
we're according to CenterPoint, my little thing on the map we were supposed to have power yesterday, but one of the guys in the complex is a lawyer, and he called CenterPoint and was raising hell with them because we're on a circuit with 1,000 other houses, and that circuit's down, and they're not making it. And most of that circuit is a low income area. I mean, the area I live in is low income. I mean, it's mostly lower middle class to, people that moved here from Katrina that's living in government apartments and, you know, stuff. A bunch of older neighborhoods, older people and stuff in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And they're, and you see it. I mean, it's just, we're kind of being ignored. I mean, we're lucky because our little subdivision is brand new. They stuck it in there on an empty lot, like they're doing everything. But
wow, Ray, you're so bitter.
Well, I'm just like, I know. There are people. Well, they're announcing on TV that they're bringing more crews down. They're pulling crews out of Cypress and bringing them down and putting them in River Oaks.
Okay. Oh, okay. The crew. Okay.
The power crews fixing stuff. Okay. River Oaks is millionaires and up who can afford to go stay in a damn hotel, who probably got their own houses on generators anyhow, so they're not suffering that much, and I feel sorry that everybody didn't have, but we got people here that have babies and stuff that they can't even keep milk cold for the children and stuff and go get ice. I mean, just the generator expense alone, I know I've spent $400 in just gas since Ike.
Oh, that's a lot.
So
because of the generators.
I mean, it's between the generator, the gas, trying to keep gassed up and all that stuff, it's just been a mess. So, but, and I'm lucky. I mean, we have, I'm a middle class citizen, and we got a little extra disposable income that we had money put back for emergencies that we can do this stuff. But there are a lot of people that can't do that, and it's just, and I see it in the neighborhood all the time because
we're located. I was just worried about traveling and going to work, and that's my main concern with the whole thing. And I guess I'm just one of the lucky ones.
Yeah,
I'm having a power very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of So anyway. We're going to Hypering on Ike and and our frustration, but
okay,
you know,
he's just really frustrated, guys.
Frustrated. Yes,
Ray is really frustrated. Anyway, breaking news. Clay Aiken is gay.
No, not Clay Aiken.
No, well, he just came out. He's on the website TowlerRoad.com. Clay Aiken, he came out. He's already a father. I mean, he adopted a baby, I think. Because in the cover
didn't
of the magazine.
Didn't he just get married or something?
No, I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Somebody that everybody suspected was gay. No. I swear I thought just got married to their like.
Who would want to marry Clay Aiken?
Like married their like makeup assistant or something. So
makeup assistant. Anyway, according to the website, I think it's TowlerRoad.com. It's he's got a baby and he doesn't want to live a lie anymore. So he came out that he's gay. He came out as a father. And that he is a gay father. So, it's TowlerRoad.com. Well, thanks to Brad from the 773 podcast for telling me about it. So, no shit. He's gay.
Well, we'll see how. Well, this would be good if he actually did come out. I mean, because they don't have it in the front cover, the Advocate, or, you know, of course, we've been haven't seen anything but Ike coverage lately. So, you know, if they've had anything, it'll be interesting to see how his career goes now, if he still sells records or what's going on. So, but
who is that? Abdul said the gay Aiken. Gay Aiken.
And so, I was sitting in the doctor's office today and I picked up I guess it's the latest issue of the Advocate. I wasn't paying attention, but it was talking about people, about how people feel about their bodies. And they grabbed 10 people and took pictures of them naked. And put them in there, and they talked to him, one guy was a bear.
Whoa.
And they're talking about things that we don't like about our bodies. And it's all about body image and how we image ourselves and the whole thing to be that gorgeous, perfect person. And, you know, the bear guy said, well, you know, I think I have a pretty face, you know, because that's what you think your positives are and what your negatives are. Mm-hmm. But he said, my negatives is my gut or belly, because I'm 300 and something pounds and I'm, you know, I got this big gut.
But not all the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then there's this one guy who is like 44, pretty little muscle boy. And you know what his big problem was?
What?
His dick was too big.
That's a problem?
How many gay guys have you ever heard with a problem with their dick being too big?
Well, I would imagine there are some. Because they would tend to be bottoms, don't you think?
Well, yeah, there are a lot of bottom guys with big dicks. But, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of tops out there with big dicks, too. I'm not one of them, but, you know, I hear there are out there, so.
Okay. So, have you ever heard of a gay guy complaining that his dick is too big? Okay.
So.
That would be interesting.
So, I just thought that was interesting. I said, a gay guy who thinks his penis is too large. Mm-hmm. So, as many size queens as there are out there, he's got to be able to get a
date. I'm quite sure he'll get a niche for that.
But anyway. All right, let's wrap this up.
Wrap this up. What else was I going to say? Oh, a few more shout-outs to Abdul and Jeff in the chat room. And like, hi.
Yeah.
I'm waving at them. Thanks for joining us. And who else? Oh, Ben. Ben, one of our members in Houston Air Bears. He's from Galveston. He evacuated, and I don't know. He goes to school there, so I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He's in Suriname with his parents. He's really having a hard time.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
And to leave college and come back home and live with your parents for God knows how many months.
Yeah. So, shout out, Ben. I hope everything's fine with you. And I don't know. I don't know if his house or his apartment is still there. Maybe.
I think he's on a dorm apartment.
He's
on
a dorm? Okay.
He knows what's left in Galveston anymore, so.
Yeah. And who else? Well, that's about it. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching and people in the chat room. And if you have comments, send your emails to nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com.
Yes, and visit the website at www.bearpodcast.com. Subscribe via iTunes for free. Guys, people tell everyone it's for free. Subscribe via iTunes. It's just for free. And voicemail line is
206-222-BEAR. 206-222-2327.
That's right. Leave your voice comments and we will play it in the show. Go to myspace.com/bearpodcast. And if you have an iPhone, check out the iPhone version of Bear Podcast. It's bearpodcast.com/iPhone. Okay. That's it. What are we going to do this weekend?
Hopefully have AC and power.
I hope so too. Me, I don't know. Probably, parties. Parties.
Oh, that's right. We have a birthday party.
Yeah, we have the birthday party to go to.
But I saw the email come through reminding me, and I was like,
we're going to talk about that next week probably. Yeah. It's a three-way birthday
party.
It's a three-way birthday party. Wow. Okay, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf What a Bear. Podcast.